In the name of Jesus, amen. It takes a lot of people to pull off a Sunday around here. I mean, we're not a mega church, so it doesn't take countless people, but besides Eric and I doing our thing, a lot more people. We trained a new troop of acolytes last week. We got one of our new ones here, so we have acolytes, and of course there's Altar Guild that will put up the new colors and make sure everything is working, repairing the one of the communion vessels that I managed to break on Thanksgiving Eve. They take care of that. Coffee and cookies and ushers and counters and budget people and board members, all sorts of stuff. Need lots of volunteers. Always need more, by the way. And if you'd like to volunteer for one of those positions, you can speak to me and I can get you to work. Of course, this isn't meant to be a hard sell. And I understand if the reason that maybe you're not volunteering now, I mean, you might just be busy, which is great. But it could also be because none of those things are really your thing. None of your aren't really your passion. And if that's the case, maybe another task would be the thing for you. Like, what if we brought back one of the Sunday morning rolls from 18th century England and colonial America? It was called the Sluggard Waker. Sometimes called church warden around here, but if you're looking for volunteers, you might as well stay with a cool title like Sluggard Waker, whose job it was to do exactly what it sounds like, to walk up and down the aisles, or maybe you were perched in a place where you could see things from the back, and should someone doze off during the service, you had this long pole that you could go and whap. Well, I was going to say whap them, but this, we have to decide on this. Wikipedia tells me that there were actually two poles. One pole had a brass knob on the end for the guys. But if you were a lady who dozed off, they had one with a foxtail attached. So the ladies would just get tickled awake, which sounds sexist to me. So if we do bring back this position, we'll have to decide whether we're going to have one pole or two poles. But if we do bring that back, maybe that's your passion. And you can, it's probably all our passion, but maybe we'll limit that to just who are really passionate about smacking people awake. So that's the Sluggard Waker. And why do I start a sermon with that? Well, because I at least think it's a little funny. And it's always good to start a sermon or any speaking engagement with a little bit of humor. Allows people to settle in. And then really getting down to business, they'll listen more. The other reason, the more immediate reason that I bring up the Sluggard Waker is because for whatever reason, in thinking about this, I wondered if maybe along with the smack of the rod or the tickle of the feather, the Sluggard Waker might have used some of the words from Jesus' little sermon in our gospel lesson that we heard from today. Maybe said something to the dozing pew sitter, "Stay awake, for you don't know when your Lord is coming," and then whammo! with the big stick. And now getting down to the business part, we are not actually ever going to have, sorry, if you are ready to sign up, we are not actually ever going to have Sluggard Wakers patrolling the aisle, and not just because it might void our liability insurance. The main reason we won't have a Sluggard Waker is because the kind of place with that kind of patrolling is pretty much the opposite of the kind of place that we strive, because I'm pretty sure Jesus would have us strive, the opposite of the kind of place that Jesus would have us be. I mean, if you happen to fall asleep here, instead of giving you a whack, I would rather that someone would give you a pillow, because it means that you're tired and it means that you need rest. And that this place, of all places, is supposed to be a place of rest. And far from being offended, should you decide to doze off during a sermon, I will be glad, really, that you feel so comfortable here. You might let someone know beforehand if you'd like to be woken up before communion, but other than that, given how anxious and agitated and on point and on stage most of us are, most of the time, if in this place, your father's house, your blood pressure drops low enough that you can actually rest, Well, then thanks be to God. That's the way it should be. But for those of you still awake, what do we do then with Jesus' words from Matthew 24? They are not very restful. Full disclosure, my reaction to them, at least my first reaction, is pretty much the same as my first reaction, minus the humor, to the sluggard waker. They make me anxious. Jesus, speaking of his return on the last day, preaching, no one knows the day or the hour. It'll be like the days of the flood, folks just going about their business, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, and then whammo, there he is, like a thief coming in the darkness. Stay awake. Not very relaxing. It's hard to believe that those words come from the same mouth that in the same gospel, 10 or so chapters before, were saying things like, come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Comes to mind with words like that as one of those radio station competitions where everyone puts their hand on a car, and then only the one who stays awake the longest and their hand doesn't come off wins the car, or worse, one of those Squid Games, or if you haven't seen it, good for you, but if you have seen the show, you'll know the reference, like one of some gruesome Squid Games sort of competition, where only those who manage to stay awake the longest don't have something horrible happen to them, so they have people chain-smoking and slamming Red Bulls, doing whatever they can to stay awake. Be awake, lest I'm asleep when my Lord returns. What's with the anxious Jesus? My reaction anyway, which might not be the right one. You might be thinking that. You might be thinking that's a little bit much, Pastor. Maybe there's some inner anxiety of your own being revealed by a reaction like that. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, you know, Pastor, sometimes it's the things that are hardest for people to hear that they most need to hear. And if you are thinking that, you might be right. It might be the case that we need to hear things like stay awake. It might be that it's mostly because we are kind of sleepy. And maybe not in the rest in your Father's arms kind of sleepy. Most of us have probably had this experience, maybe often. You're driving to work or back from work home somewhere familiar, and you do all the twists and turns, maybe 10, 15, 20 minute drive, and you get home and you're there and you said, how did I even get here? Like you were just out of it the whole time. If we're not careful, maybe without some reminders to stay awake, we can end up driving through life like that. You might get to 30 or 50 or 70 or 90. And then in a moment of clarity, wake up and say, how did I even get here? Distracted by all the ridiculous priorities, make another sale, win another argument, garner another like. We can sleepwalk through life. How did I even get here? Completely oblivious, maybe, to the one thing about life which is actually certain, that it will end. Fame, I will live forever. I remember that show watching as a kid. No, you're not. You won't live forever. Your end will come, and everyone will have forgotten about you within a few generations. Dismal but true. I had lunch with a friend of mine. I hadn't had lunch with him in about 5 years last week, or maybe the week before. I had lunch with him because he had gotten struck by lightning over the summer. I was out camping. Evidently, lots of iron ore in the earth around here after a heavy rain. It's more common than you think. People get struck by lightning. He got struck by lightning. He thought he was dead. He said he thought like his whole body was melted, and that's what it felt like to be dead. And there's more to the story, but in talking to him, he was talking about how getting struck by lightning made him realize all the things he'd been asleep to, mostly relationships, which is actually the reason, like I said, why we were having lunch. This friend, who had been a fairly close friend, hadn't seen him in 5 years, said, you know what? I almost got melted. I need to wake up and nurture some of those relationships. I mean, I hadn't gotten struck by lightning. If we both had, we'd have two lunches, I guess, but just one lunch. Or this, the same point made by this. A friend of mine tells me of a friend of his who has a t-shirt she wears to the pool. It says, you're going to die, wear the, word I can't say in a sermon, wear the blank swimsuit. Get it? You're going to die, wear the blank swimsuit. In other words, wake up. Who cares if you have flabby cheeks? Everyone will have flabby cheeks eventually, and eventually won't have cheeks at all. So stay awake. So maybe there's a bit of that. I thought the t-shirt was funny. So maybe there's a bit of that, but maybe it's too serious though. Maybe there's a bit of that in Jesus' words, that stay awake. A little bit, maybe there's a kind of restfulness from which you need, a sleepiness from which you need, a sluggard waker from time to time. No one knows when the end is coming. In that bit about the thief, too, we probably do need that some. And yet, what we also need, and I'm pretty sure that at least I need more than that, is a break, is rest. Which a lot of the readings this time of year, the Advent season, all about Jesus coming again, coming like a thief even, a time when no one knows when. Well, the readings that make it hard to rest, or might seem so, maybe cause for more anxiety more than anything else. Unless perhaps maybe we miss something in there. Unless perhaps maybe even in those words that on first look make me think of a sluggard waker and make me more anxious and more worried, unless perhaps hidden in our Lord's words are actually some hints. Some hints about how relaxed we actually can be. About that day, no one knows the day or the hour. Think about that for a moment. You know, there are a lot of things that I don't know. Stop right there. Really? You know, there are a lot of things that I don't know about which not knowing, I couldn't care in the least. That I'm glad I don't have to know. I mentioned all those things that happened in the service. I mean, I kind of know how stuff gets set up here, but not completely. Coffee, cookies, I mean, the music, the beautiful music, I have no idea. I wish I did, but I don't. But I don't wake up on a Sunday morning worried to death. Oh my goodness, what's going to happen at church? Everything's going to fall apart. Why? Because I know the people who do them. I know they're taken care of. I know and I trust them, and so I don't worry about it. Or you might think of this. You could think of maybe two little children get dropped off at the playground by their moms. She says something like, "See you later, son. I'll be back," and drives off without saying when. One of the children immediately wets his pants, falls down, and starts screaming, "When? When will you be coming back?" The other kid runs off to the swing set. Why so relaxed? Why so relaxed when she did not say when she'd be back? Why? Because he knows and he trusts his mom and that she'll take care of it and that she, the one he knows and trusts, will take care of the job of picking him up. You know who you also know and trust? The one whose job it is to take care of the end of the world. The end of your world and the end of the whole shebang. The most important word in that whole reading, the one I kind of skipped over, gives the biggest hint of all, the one that really gives us opportunity to relax, it's just a little four-letter word, Y-O-U-R, your, for you do not know the day or the hour, not just when the Lord, any old Lord, you do not know the day nor the hour when your Lord will return. And that makes all the difference. Your Lord, you may not know when the Lord is coming, but you know that when the Lord does come, it is your Lord. The image of that thief. Oh, so scary. A thief is coming back. By the way, Jesus, I don't think it's your best work. I wouldn't have chosen the image, but I can work with it. For you know what? You know if a thief is coming to your house. Yes, one way to deal with that is I'm going to stay up all night, Red Bulls and chain smoking and all that, just to make sure I'm awake when he gets there. But there's another thing you can do. If you know a thief is coming to your house, you can make sure you know the thief. You can make sure he's your buddy. You can have dinner with him. Make sure that whoever the thief is, that he's your friend, so that ever he does show up, this thief who's your friend, who is your savior, who you know and you trust, he's more likely to drop something off than to take something. So we don't know when the Lord is coming, but who cares? We know our Lord. And if you don't, let me introduce him to you. His name is Jesus. He's the one who once upon a time got dropped down into our very real world so that he can be really close to the real you. He got dropped down into this dirty little manger. You've heard the story, maybe, this dirty little manger, because no one and nothing is too dirty for him. He spent his time walking around with the least, the lame, the lowly, and the lost, because when you're little and when you're lame and when you're lonely, And when you're lost, that is the time when he is most loving you. He died a criminal's death in answer for all the crimes of the world. And the third day, this Jesus, the thief, the one who's coming, this one I'm introducing to you, on the third day, he rose up with healing in his heart and forgiveness on his lips and death trampled underneath his feet, because there is healing for you and forgiveness for you. And at the last, resurrection and everlasting life for you. We don't know when the Lord is coming, but that's the Lord. So who cares? Relax, rest, and breathe. The Lord is your Lord, and he will come right on time. No need to be anxious. Sleep in church. No sluggard wakers around here. Well, until Jesus takes his turn. And rumor is he won't use a stick, but a trumpet. And words like, wake up, children. Sleeping time is over, but the rest has just begun. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.